Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Get your scorecards ready.
Yeah! Today's starting lineup for the Chicago Cubs in the city of brotherly love. The Cubs are ready to give one away.
Is that how you term it?
Yes. Who's missing from this order so far?
Matt Shaw?
No, he's batting eighth. All right. Playing third base.
Vidal Brujan.
Who? Vidal Brujan.
We're missing. Wait, where is the MVP?
This is clearly.
Where is the Pete Crow All Star?
PCA is MIA. There's no Michael Bush. There's no PCA.
And there's no Pete Crow Armstrong.
I don't really like this lineup at all. The Cubs are ready to give one away.
And he drives one in the air, run. Deep right center, all the way back and gone. Schwarber with his 21st. Boom, hits the fly ball to left. Back is half at the wall. Leaping, it's gone. It's hard to keep your batting eyes sharp. Here's a fly ball to left. It's going to be caught by Kepler, and the ball game is over. The Phillies have beaten the Cubs today 7-2. The Phillies win the series 2 out of 3.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
For all the lineup easters out there right now.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was a first yesterday, Mr. David. The Cubs losing the game with the lineup. And losing the game while we're still on the air.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. And losing the plot along the way.
Not since Japan.
Not. I think the term for it, and I think you will appreciate this, there's an origin to this term and that goes way back, but it's fait accompli.
Ah, yes.
Fait accompli.
Yes.
You know what that means, and you knew what that looked like, and yesterday was an example of that.
Something that was over before it began.
Yes. And it really was. And you heard us talking about it coming in. Mm. And yeah, it's only one game. And there, I was really encouraged, Mr. Sunshine, this morning. Dustin.
I know. I was stunned.
I was really happy because when he put it in perspective the way that he did, it made you realize if you're a Cub fan, they are 14 games over. They are coming home for 10.
5 games clear.
At Wrigley Field in the Federal Landmark, as Dustin likes to include in his reports. And there's a lot to like about where you are in this season. The Cardinals and the Brewers, I think, both lost. And the 5-game lead is comfortable right now.
Well, it was, I mean, the problem with the whole thing is that we kind of, as you say, it was a fait accompli. It turned out exactly as we knew it would when we left here in the morning, and that doesn't happen very often. And you kind of watch that go down, and you're kind of like, wow. But as Dustin said in his bright and sunshiny morning, he said, everybody else in the division lost. So really, it's just another
easier
day off
to accept, and yet you do kind of put an asterisk by it because it was a day that
you decided to lose a road series.
Well, Pete Crow Armstrong didn't play.
Right.
Michael Bush didn't play. And Kyle Tucker took the day off.
It was interesting because as I watched the pregame when I got home, there was this idea that, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong has the beginning of the game off, but he can come in whenever they want. It's not like he needed a day off, or, you know, if they felt that they needed him at some point, he'd
yeah,
be there.
I caught He's that commentary hurt. As well. I wasn't really buying it.
I just thought it was weird.
A day off is a day off.
A day off is giving a guy a day off.
You wanted him to rest and not necessarily. It's maybe a mental thing as much as anything.
We need him. Get back out there.
No, I don't think so. They didn't need him. The game was over early, 7-2, and a large part of that was Ben Brown coming out and not being good from the get-go. And what we talked about in terms of the moment being too big for him or not being able to manage some of that anxiety, he didn't have command, and it was obvious from the first batter.
I'm going to go positive with Ben Brown.
Okay.
Because the thing that he did is he ate that game. I mean, he stayed in. He got them into the sixth. There's a guy that did not have it, but he didn't overtax the bullpen.
I won't argue with that premise, and I do think it's a good point worth remembering. But I have to say, after the first couple innings, it felt like Ben Brown was going out to the mound because Dad punished him. Craig Counsell was like, son, you let me down. You're going back out there and you're finishing the job.
Well, I think we see that happen in baseball all the time. Hey, you know, we're not going to ruin the next game because you can't play. Eat it. You got to eat this one.
He did have to eat it. But post-game, Craig Counsell, when talking about Ben Brown, I don't think there's any manager as honest as he is and sounds as disappointed as he did.
Just wasn't sharp today. I don't think he ever got to a place where he felt good with his fastball and his breaking ball, and it just kind of led to a general kind of lack of command. And you saw some big misses, and then when he needed to, just not getting balls to good spots, and they made him pay for that.
But he also said he's got the stuff and he's a good pitcher, and then he tore him up.
Yes, I think those were the perfunctory things you say. He's got good stuff. He's got two pitches, and he wasn't good enough. And you do wonder. I know we're going to talk about it because I think it's a hot topic. And you do wonder about what is next for Ben Brown. And you wonder about the Cubs in terms of their pitching rotation because of Shota's uncertainty, because of where they are in the standings, comfortably ahead in the division. And Jed Hoyer making the rounds in Philadelphia. Local and national media, Jed sounded the same in terms of what the Cubs need and how he's going to react. They need pitching.
They definitely need pitching. And he admitted as much. And even the way he talked about the things they don't need underscored how much they need pitching.
Yes.
And he talked about, it was good. I'm not sure why he's doing the last, is he not coming home? And usually when you come home from a road trip, the GM would be
You know how beats are. You don't know some of the idiosyncrasies. Maybe it's as simple as he does typically meet with the Cubs media at the beginning of a homestand, which is today, by the way.
That's what I'm saying.
Later today. And I think when you look at the dynamic, maybe he felt like maybe something going on today. He just decided to do it a day earlier in Philadelphia, and then it was easy for him to hop on with the MLB Now and the MLB Network and all the national stuff. So I appreciate his transparency and accessibility.
I mean, maybe there were tons of requests after his appearance with John Heyman, followed by, as you say, the MLB Network. So who knows?
The podcast with John Heyman and Joel Sherman was really good.
It was excellent.
As are most of Jed's interviews, just because there is a... There's just not a defensiveness. There's no apprehension.
The transparency, the word you used, is exactly what is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the great thing about that one was they wanted to talk to him about PCA because they're in New York and the Mets traded him, and they wanted to know, hey, how did you come up with PCA? How did that work out? And he was very transparent.
And he went through the entire thought process.
He went through the whole thing.
And he named names.
He did.
Other prospects that were in the mix.
That we were told no on him and no on him.
It's a quibble, but can I add one thing to the list of, I guess, items on Jed Hoyer's shopping list pre-July 31st? Yesterday, as much as we have turned into lineup-istas.
Yes.
And I think that's also part of our role. Every day we are evaluating these games, analyzing these games, and that's okay to do. As we do that, it's something that's become obvious to me. The Cubs really need a fifth outfielder. They need a outfielder that isn't, say, a Suzuki, who is your DH. They need somebody who supplies them, with due respect, more depth than Vidal Brujan does as your backup center fielder. Because they really don't have somebody. Maybe they feel confident about Owen Casey or Alcantara at AAA. If something were to happen, they would bring them up. But I really would feel better if they had a Mike Tauchman, for instance, somebody like that on their bench.
Exactly who I was thinking.
Well,
they
that's
had a guy.
The guy
right?
available.
They had a guy, and he's done a very nice
he's
job.
He's done well on
the I think they miss
side.
Him a little bit.
I think you could have him.
What do you want?
Ballesteros.
You need another catcher?
How about Brujan?
Yeah, let's keep going. He's not a catcher. He's a hitter.
Okay, but they're stockpiling guys who play a certain position and are a certain type. You would want Ballesteros for Tauchman?
I just want the best player they have. It was just kind of a joke.
I'll take
Owen Casey, since he's redundant. Okay. And you don't need him. Or
don't think that's going to happen.
Alcantara, that sounds pretty good to me. Okay. That guy's a really good player. So, yeah, there's tons of guys.
But you know what I mean in terms of
a
defensive substitution? Not that they even have any defensive substitution needs, but I do think that in the event of
I think it's
an
interesting
injury.
Because what you're saying is that they are loaded in the outfield to the point where there are guys that are blocked, but those guys need to play. So in order for them to have an outfielder that doesn't need to play, it's a guy that you don't like. I'm just saying.
Well,
you would rather have a veteran guy than a young guy, but you like someone you know that you can trust, and that's the Palatine Pounder.
It's a pretty specific job description.
Yes. No.
Because it has to be a veteran that doesn't need a ton of at-bats, but you would trust in a pinch if, say, Ian Happ has a couple days where he needs to rest a sore oblique, or Kyle Tucker jams his finger, or PCA twists an ankle.
But they have excellent options behind those guys. They just need to play. And they're blocked to play in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And that it's a really interesting dilemma, because you're absolutely right. You need a veteran guy that knows how to come in and turn it on. And that's why the both of you identified the guy that was there before.
Justin Turner had a hit yesterday in place of Michael Bush against the lefty Lizardo. And I suppose that's the logic, because Lizardo is somebody that you look at and really good lefty. But
Lizardo's
still
a guy they were very down the line on, very close.
It was almost a cup
to bringing in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And I believe there was some issue with his medical.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were that far down the line, but there was some concern with the medical. So he ends up, he winds up in Philadelphia. He was with the Marlins, wasn't he? And then he's got like a little grudge to pick himself. He struck out 10 guys yesterday.
That was suggested.
Yeah, he was good.
It was suggested. He did strike out as many as you said, and that's a problem because the Cubs did not have a lineup that was going to challenge him to the as well as they could have challenged him, and that was the problem going into that game.
But if you got him, then you would not have the you would not have the lefty that you did get, and he's been excellent, Matthew Boyd.
Matthew Boyd was an excellent addition.
Yes.
There's no question about it.
So that's why I don't care that much about Luzardo. Because
I don't
think
either.
I
don't have a lot of regret there. I don't because...
But he probably did have a bone to pick with him.
He might have privately, quietly been motivated
privately.
By that. But the Cubs have made some really good decisions. Jed Hoyer has made some really smart decisions in putting together this pitching rotation and staff of relievers because you see guys who... are taking advantage of their second wind, second chances, however you want to frame it. But you have guys from Drew Pomerantz to Brad Keller to Chris Flexen.
Yes.
But also, while we say those things and the Ben Brown dilemma, you do have veteran options to replace him if Craig Counsell is as fed up as he sounds sometimes talking about Ben Brown.
Ben Brown, conversely, was a guy that was in Philadelphia at one point in their system, apparently didn't have any issue with them trading him.
No, I suppose. I think he probably looked at that as an opportunity because that was a couple years ago. That was for David Robertson.
Right.
And that was a really good trade for the Cubs because they got a promising young right-hander.
Yep.
But the promise is evident every now and then.
Yeah, the promise is he's a promising young right-hander.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
Got good stuff. He's going to be okay.
You think I'm too down on Ben Brown yesterday?
I do think you're reacting to yesterday and not to, the
big picture.
Dad called him out 4 or 5 games ago, and he was significantly better. And now he has kind of a misstep, and you're immediately like, what do you do with him? Where are you going to put him?
Wait, David? David is now the new prisoner of the moment?
Did I say that?
That's my sentence.
Oh, I said that.
You are the prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
You have been interred for years, Mr. Dustin.
He's in solitary confinement for how often he is
David, if you're a prisoner of the moment, at least you're a Gen Pop.
I'll be out at 10. So your sentence to longer will stay. I think Ben Brown is somebody, though, that is a little bit confounding because you do see the potential. In his previous 2 outings, he was outstanding.
Yes.
Heck, for 5 innings on Friday night, he matched Scuba pretty much pitch for pitch, inning for inning. And then yesterday just felt like it was a little much for him, maybe because of what you said, maybe because of against his former team.
Oh, I don't think that's it, but
They mentioned it on the broadcast.
Did they really?
Yes.
I didn't know.
They mentioned that he was a 33rd round draft pick.
Yeah.
That's a pitch
like that yesterday. Oh, stop it.
He did.
No, he didn't. He's good. He's going to be all right.
He's good. He does need a third pitch.
They keep saying
that for a reason.
Where are you at with Colin Ray? Are you worried about how is the bloom off of many roses in your world? Does the whole bouquet need rearranging? What's going on here?
I'm just overreacting to Ben Brown.
Okay.
I'm not overreacting to every member of the Cubs who let us down lately. Colin Ray will be okay. I do feel like his status in the second half of the season and usage will probably be very different than the first half.
Right.
Because of a lot of reasons. I think, when you talk about adding to this rotation and using people in different ways, there could be some, if Shota comes back and if they add a piece, then you're talking about who is the odd man out. And I don't think he's going to be the odd man out, but Colin Ray can help you in a variety of roles. And so I think his versatility will be something that the Cubs take advantage of.
A buddy of mine texted me yesterday, tell me, I think I'm going to bet on the White Sox. And my initial reaction was like, oh God, don't do that. Like I felt I should caution him, but then I felt it wasn't my place. But I would never have done anything like that yesterday. And boy, did they get themselves into some bad issues. They were not good at all.
It was ugly.
They lost
10-2.
Oh my God! And honestly, it wasn't that close.
It wasn't. It was over early.
It felt like after the first inning, was it 3-0?
Yep.
It felt like Sean Burke didn't have it, and they were going to get absolutely
by the fourth. It was 7-0 in time to turn it off.
Yeah,
and it was long enough. Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't even manage a rally, and it was really out of hand. And the Astros had their way with Sean Burke and everyone else who went to the mound. There was no stellar debut last night, and there was nothing stopping.
But you, when you think, what does that guy know that I don't see when he's going to make a wager? You probably should caution him, but I personally have a hard time telling people to get off what their mindset is. You know what I mean? Because then if I had sent a text in return, you're an idiot, it would then have blown up on me.
I don't think you really want to ever text that in return. Just, you know, just your life idiot? Lesson. I don't think that's a really good way to communicate.
There are more pleasant ways of saying it.
Well, you can say it without name calling. You're an idiot is pretty direct and
But
it's an insult.
I didn't respond because I didn't want to insult anyone, and I also didn't want to steer them away, but I didn't understand that impulse.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I thought the Sox might based on the previous night, though, you left open that possibility that maybe they are going to win the series. Today's going to be tough with Framber Valdez on the mound.
Yes.
So I don't know if that was the series got away from them last night. But how about if you're a Cub fan watching the Sox game and you see Cam Smith come up and get two hits, and he wasn't as productive as Isaac Paredes, who had three.
Isaac Paredes has been excellent in this series. In this series, too. It was a problem yesterday.
I should have done this before the show, but I was such a prisoner of the moment.
I was
focused on Ben Brown research. I want to know, is Isaac Paredes having a better season than Kyle Tucker?
I don't think so. But
I think he might. The numbers are his OPS is 819. Paredes has 14 home runs.
But the Cubs won that trade strictly because
driven up 41 runs.
They are, you know,
I don't. I would have done it
in a good situation, and they have a chance to bring that guy back if they can pull it off. And let's be honest about it. I think Jed saved his job with that move.
It was just a direct question.
Yeah,
it was something to look into. I would have done the trade 10 out of 10 times.
Yes.
Because
it might not age well, is what you're saying.
But it's on June 12th that I'm asking this question. Yeah. I think in August 12th, if we're having the same conversation, then maybe it gets a little bit more tenuous. If it's on September 12th, then it's still a source of conversation. It's a problem. Because
I gotcha.
He's somebody that you thought you were unloading at the right time. You gave up Cam Smith and Isaac Paredes and Hayden Wesneski, who's out for the season with Tommy John. Sorry about that. That was really sad to see. But, yeah, the Sox did not have any chance last night.
No, they were terrible.
But they did still have good news on the South side.
Well, I mean, they got a nice bump. The mass is already sold out, but the star of the show was wearing his Sox colors in Roma. I mean, that was pretty awesome. I swear to God, Dave, and we'll talk about this, so I don't want to rob myself of the story, but I did not see that one coming at all.
I did not either. I did not expect to be talking about Pope Leo wearing a Sox hat making international news.
He blew up the internet.
He blew it up.
He blew up the internet many times with that. I mean, that with the Sox hat on, that had to be a joke. And I've gotten that photo or something along those lines.
You thought it was AI.
100,000 times. I was convinced.
I was convinced.
It was
just one of those things. You're like, no.
Yeah. Oh,
no.
I've seen that photo everywhere. No, that happened. Come on. I've got copies of that with him at every Southside landmark.
It was fun. It was a fun day. Led to an interesting night. Oh, the NBA Finals. How about that? in Indy.
That is very, there's nothing gentlemanly about that, Mr. Dustino.
No, nothing gentleman about that sweep.
Go Pacers.
Thank you.
I am on board. That atmosphere was super cool last night. Watched a lot of that game last night. Mm-hmm. That looked like it was a fun place to be at, and I hope they can bring a championship back to Indiana.
Look at this.
Well, Oklahoma City is very powerful, but this is Indiana. As the t-shirts say. Got to get one of those.
The only thing I don't like about the Pacers is Halliburton's dad. Like, he should not be that close to the court. What was that? Was that a blanket he was waving last night? What was that?
I love it that his son called out of the jeans he was wearing, the dad jeans.
All right, we've got to get to the pick six. We'll do that next. All the top stories, we're going to pick them all apart. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Pops is in the house. What's the celebration going to be like with him?
No, I'm going to go say what up. And he going to go home. He out of pocket for them jeans. But, other than that, it's good to see him out here.
Tyrese, congratulations. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Why did the Bulls deny the Knicks' request to interview Billy Donovan? Was that the right move, or should they have played this out to see if they could work out a trade? What would have been best for this organization?
Yeah, I think what's best is to keep Billy Donovan. I think Billy Donovan is like one of the few things they've got going for him. I think he did a phenomenal job last year. What kind of draft pick are they getting? You think they'd get like a first-round pick? The Knicks don't have any draft picks. Didn't they invest everything already? I just don't know how they would get better by trading Billy. I got to be honest with you. I think the real question here is how unbelievably inept are the Knicks. It's not just Billy. They got turned down for at least six other NBA head coaches. I think Billy makes it seven. And Jay Wright passed. So I don't know who else they're talking to. I got to be honest with you. When they fired Tibbs, I just figured, oh, they're hiring Mike Malone. You know, New York guy, grew up down the street from Billy. Of course, that makes sense. They've got a coach lined up. No, they're running around asking teams, hey, would you let us talk to your coach? No. Well, how about you? Will you let us talk to your coach? No. What were they doing? Why would you knee-jerk respond to, like, a bad game?
Are we calling a jerk?
Yeah, exactly. You know I'm calling it jerk, Jim Dolan. Hang down your head, Jim Dolan. Hang down your head in shame. It's honestly, they had no plan. That's all you learned. That they're just literally asking anybody that has a head coach, can we talk to him? No. I would not want to see Billy traded there, and I don't think they've got a lot to give you, to be honest with you.
This is a team whose slogans are shrink the timeline and wait till the summer of 2026, right? And you're correct, Molly. Like, the trading of Billy Donovan to the Knicks for what? I would need to hear the what in order to really respond to the if, but if it's their first-round pick, which I don't think they own, to your point, probably in the Cat trade over to the Timberwolves, I'm guessing, probably own their number one pick in that extravaganza.
They gave away, like, four picks for Bridges, right?
Mikal Bridges.
Yeah. They gave away the future.
My point is that, if anything, this is good for Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan might even get, like, some new paper on top of new paper because his name was mentioned in this type of a situation. It wouldn't make any sense, and you're 100% right. I mean, this is something that needs to be discussed because it's local and it's interesting, but what exactly are they doing in New York?
Well, I think to dismiss it, though, is inconsistent with the way we've looked at this Bulls operation going forward. I love Billy Donovan. There's not a bigger fan of Billy Donovan in town. I think he's terrific. He's probably the brightest bulb in that building, in the Bulls organization. But if you are trying to change your future, the Knicks do have a first-round draft pick in 2026. They do have probably some players on a roster that you at least discuss, is this worth it? Where are you going with Billy Donovan as your coach? Right now you're running in circles, and you're running in place. I don't think I would trade him, but I would probably discuss it if for a first-round draft pick and a bench player. I don't know if you could do that, but if you got a first-round draft pick and trading your coach, who's probably going to win, what, 35 to 40 games next year? Can you win 35 to 40 games without Billy Donovan? I love the idea of him telling us on a daily basis what happened to the Bulls and why, but I also know that you've got an organization that needs to make a big move somehow.
Well, you can't fire him then, right? They can't fire him now.
No, they can't fire him now.
Well, I mean, but what if you would have done this? What if they would have done what you said? Like, and I don't disagree with you either. But and then brought Tibbs back.
Tom Thibodeau in Chicago?
Right.
That will not happen.
Okay. Well, I'm just, I mean,
that will not happen.
Jerry could give like a release of a guy wears nice.
Have the Bulls been sold? That will not happen until the Bulls are sold.
Did Thibodeau, when he wrote his letter to Chicago after being fired or not retained by the Bulls, whichever way you want to look at it, did he also omit the general manager and the owner's name in his release like he did in New York?
Did you remember the owner's release?
I don't remember Tom Thibodeau issuing a statement like that.
Something like that?
No, but I also don't remember the statement accompanying. Look, what the Knicks did to Tom Thibodeau was foolish and somewhat unfair, definitely. But it wasn't the first time that Tom Thibodeau was treated unfairly on the way out the door. So I think that when you look at those things, I'm not Tom Thibodeau's separate to this. I want Billy Donovan to stay, but I think as a thought exercise, I hope they at least had the conversation at the United Center, because the Knicks do have a first-round draft pick next year. I believe that it's still theirs, and they do have pieces on that bench that might help, but I don't think they're going to do it.
No, it's a valid question, certainly on the minds of a lot of people.
That's the voice of Casey Johnson. He joins the Mully and Haw Show this morning at 7:25. What did you make of Game 3 of the NBA Finals, and have you changed your opinion about how quickly things will end? What has been the biggest adjustment to date?
The biggest adjustment to date is that the venue changed. But this is Indiana, and they play very well in that building. It's a different atmosphere. I don't know. It's the hardest thing for me to figure out in sports. You've got professionals who shouldn't be as affected by the atmosphere, by the venue, by the circumstances, and yet they are. The Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton are just more locked in at home. Tyrese Halliburton was so locked in last night that he was 4 of 8 from three. He turned the ball over 4 times, but he was a rebound shy of a triple-double. And they followed his lead, and he set the tone. And so, the matchups and how they defended things, they're little things. But what was really the story was the Pacer bench outplayed the Thunder bench. And it was one of those games where you got a lot of contributions from guys who stepped up because they were boosted by a home crowd that was just fantastic. So it was like watching a basketball revival. It was so much fun. If you are...
Should have played it under a tent.
It could have been under a tent. And instead it was at one of the coolest NBA atmospheres that you're ever going to find.
Caitlin Clark was there?
She was there, yeah.
See her give the choke sign?
I did not see that, did she?
She gave the choke sign.
She was there with ratings up 55% because that's how far they dropped without her in the WNBA.
In the WNBA, yeah. I thought, speaking of the ratings, maybe we go back to it. Adam Silver had a very interesting comment about where their ratings are at, and they've been kicked around a little bit. But if you look at it, they're still pretty. They're better than you. They're better than you might think. So, David, the venue changed. The points off the bench was a massive disparity last night in that game. Also, the turnovers were a big factor and what you did with the turnovers. So the other night, the Pacers couldn't figure out how to hold on to the ball, but the Thunder did not capitalize on that. And last night there was a big turnover differential, and the Pacers were able, it was 5 more, but it was what they did with those points. Points off the turnovers were 21 points off the 19 turnovers. So they took advantage of that. And I am pro Pacers now. I am into the Pacers. Go Pacers. Bring an NBA championship back to the Midwest. And as we celebrate, or at least I celebrate, the anniversary of the Bulls' first NBA championship on this date against the Lakers, I remember it very vividly. And go Pacers, go Pacers, go Pacers, go Pacers.
Well, it was an extraordinary game for the Pacers. And they, OKC was with them the whole game, leading by a few heading into the fourth quarter. Once you got to the fourth quarter, it was all Pacers. And they got unbelievable performances, ridiculous performances off the bench. They were led in scoring by Benedict Mathurin. Did you see this statistic? He scored 27, okay? And in doing so, he became the sixth player since the merger to score 25 or more points in the finals at the age of 22 or younger. He joins, how about this for a list of future Hall of Famers or Hall of Famers? He joins Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Tony Parker, Kobe Bryant, and Magic Johnson.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
It's good company.
Scores 27 points. They and who's the little white-hander point guard? That guy? He went off.
T.J. McConnell?
T.J. McConnell.
T.J. Chitwood?
That was exactly what it looked like.
And how about his dad, like, chugging beers in the audience? And,
gotta
like,
love that.
I mean, he was like, he looked like he was bright red in the face,
intense. They brought these guys in. He played like son of a coach, and the guy drank like a coach. It was extraordinary to see. They brought people off the bench. The other thing is they ran all sorts of different guys at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Right, waves of guys, right?
Waves of guys.
He has been so special in these finals.
And he's been phenomenal. And you said it, Dustin. I think they ended the game with 19 turnovers. OKC does not turn the ball over nearly as much as that. They were one of the top teams in the league with not turning the ball over. They had 19 in that game. And it was all... It was like not just crunch time heroics, but it was like one team looked, as you say, home cooking. They looked like everyone could contribute, the whole bench. They also looked like veteran team that understands what they're doing, while the other guys look like, what's happening?
Two more wins.
That's incredible. And yes, I have to change my opinion on how it's going to go because I had it in five games. So I got to go six now.
I understand the question.
How damning was the Cubs 7-2 loss to the Phillies in Philly, which ended the road trip on a 4-5 record? Or did you already concede that game when the lineup included days off for PCA and Michael Bush? What was the worst part of the day?
The worst part of the day, at least for me, is that it was over before it began. You know, we talked about it as we that was our last segment. We got the lineup and everybody was just stunned by it and felt, oh my God, they're losing this game. What are they thinking? And why don't they wait and do that against Pittsburgh? Well, it all proved correct. I mean, that game was over before it began. You can say that, but really, Ben Brown, it was over when you saw what he was not ready to start the game. And the Cubs played like it was like a Sunday lineup, and they were throwing a game away, and it just felt like it was over before it began, and it was over quickly.
I know we kind of joked about it, but in all seriousness, I wonder about Ben Brown's mental makeup when he saw the lineup. And I wonder if that's part of the issues he had in the first inning. But that's not the question right this second. The worst part, David, was the $500 million future right fielder of some team, hopefully the Cubs, you know, looking like a guy who didn't want to play in the outfield yesterday. I mean, Pat Hughes, he dropped the ball. He dropped the ball. I mean, he looked like a guy who was a little bit worried about his health, didn't want to bang into the wall. Not saying he should have banged into the wall. I said yesterday that he should have been DHing. He should have been, can't have everybody get a day off on the same day. But kind of DHing's kind of sort of like having a day off. You don't have to be out in the field. He looks like a guy that's playing a little fragile. And I still, you know, the worst part of the whole series against the Phillies was why in the world up four was he double stealing in the eighth inning, and he had to drag his carcass off the off the base. He almost killed himself belly flopping into third base. Stop running that guy unless you have to. Not up four with that bullpen right now, Craig Counsell. Not up four.
You know, there were a lot of things that were bad. It's hard to choose just one. Ben Brown imploding in the first inning has to be near the top of the list. But you go back even further than that. Our reaction when we saw the lineup and Vidal Bruján batting ninth and playing center field was near the top of the list. Oh, wait. Justin Turner playing instead of Michael Bush on a day that PCA also has a day off. I don't get that. Why you would rest two of your best hitters against a team that is as good as the Phillies are with Lizardo on the mound. But wait. No, it got worse. You fall behind. And yeah, the Tucker play was bad. The other things were worse. But it really just drove home how bad of a day and lousy of a watch it was for the Cub fan out there, every Cub fan out there. When Kyle Schwarber went 430 feet into the seats and hit a home run, and the one that got away did it again. So, yeah, insult to injury, just a bad day at the office, all of those things. Come home, Cubbies. You need a hug.
184 home runs since he left town.
Oh, God.
As a leader, I think you shy away from those questions.
That's the voice of Jed Hoyer, doing a lot of talking these days. Appreciate that. Did you appreciate Jed Hoyer's candor in regards to the Cubs focusing on adding pitching and pitching depth?
You know, right now the focus would be on adding pitching depth. I think that would be the clear thing. And I think we're in the information gathering process still. I think, as I've said a number of times, there's still very few teams that I think would be fully categorized as sellers. I think that for the most part right now, it's the teams that have struggled still think they can kind of get back in the race other than a handful. And so we're not quite there yet. But, you know, in the information gathering stage, you know, obviously checking in, monitoring everything.
So Jed Hoyer giving a slight look perhaps behind the curtain that they want pitching and pitching and pitching depth.
I love it. They need it, and they're going to get it. And I think he's the guy for the job. Yes, he spoke as openly as he has spoken because he understands everybody. There's nothing to hide. This is an urgent season. It's 1 year of Kyle Tucker. It's Jed's last year in his contract. Maybe he's got an extension already, whatever. But he knows he's got to go out and address the most glaring need on this team. And as Ben Brown reminded us yesterday, the most glaring need on this team is a starting pitcher.
Amen, David. They've got to have it. And you look at, I think they threw a stat up on television yesterday. I know we've talked about it. The amount of strong starting pitching the Cubs faced during this 9-game road trip and going 4 out of 5. And I think I heard Bruce talking about this maybe on Cubs pregame. You know, okay, so you're struggling against the aces right now as far as the lineup goes, but then you got to make sure you beat the 3s, 4s, and 5s. But the Cubs, if they are going to really do something in Craig Tober, you got to have an ace, and right now they do not have an ace.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody who wondered what they needed to do, that I believe was answered in the series at Detroit. It just, I think we all knew going in, and you're not wrong, David, Ben Brown had a really good outing, but Tarik Steubel is so much better. It just wasn't even worth kind of measuring, you know, that, and then you look at what happened with Flaherty. I just think that, you know, at this point with Shota down, I don't know how you're lining it up, and I don't know how. Frankly, I think there's been a lot of smoke and mirrors to this point. The pitching's not been a problem, but you look at it and you kind of scratch your head, like how has it not been a problem? And so, does that mean it is going to be a problem if you don't get it resolved, or if you don't get it fixed a little bit? You know, losing Steele was a huge blow that went relatively unnoticed. And then Shota going down. To have both those guys out at the same time and be playing the way they are, it's unbelievable. It really is just a real testament to how well the order has done up and down. And, you know, the pitching's been excellent. I mean, they've been fixing the bullpen as you go, and it's been getting much better. They're significantly better than they were a year ago in that area. And I think that if you want this team, if you want to take advantage of the situation you've put yourself in, then you got to make a move. And I think everybody knows it. And Jed doesn't insult your intelligence by telling you otherwise.
Yeah, it's a good question.
All right, a little more Jed there. No, that was the voice of Scott Merkin, I believe. We know the Cubs were blasted by the Phillies while giving PCA his first day off of the season. Did the White Sox miss rookie Chase Meidroff in a similar fashion? He was given a last night off, and the Sox clearly missed his grinder energy. Meidroff is no PCA, but there is a tailsman. Okay.
Talisman.
Okay, there you go. Never heard that word in my life, but we keep learning. It's a fun part of being a part
of
the show.
Good luck charm.
Okay, the talisman. Interesting. Can a guy that young and that grindy really be indispensable? The talisman.
Is that nickname that's going to stick?
Talisman.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
That is not an unusual word.
Never in my life. Never.
Really?
Ever. No. Did you use that in Scrabble once, David?
Yeah, probably. I probably used it in a story. I'll have to do a search.
Nexus Lexus?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Chase Meidroff is not PCA. I don't think he could ever be PCA. There's only one PCA. But he is kind of their energy guy. He kind of does. They feed off him a little bit. Nothing like a guy who's like MVP caliber. But this kid has, you know, he has, believe it or not, gotten on base quite a bit. And he's grindy. And he's like he's a human bruise by all accounts. He's half man, half black and blue. He's so beaten up. So they needed to give him a day off. And I got no problem with that. But it was just funny because they seemed like they missed his energy. He's just a very energetic young guy that occasionally will make a play where you're like, wow, like how did that guy make that play? He kind of defies logic. So what does Ozzie call him? Ozzie, what's that movie, Sandlot? I think he calls him Sandlot, which I think is very funny because he thinks he looks like the kid from Sandlot. But it's also, you know, he's always got dirt on his uniform. He's always grimy and grindy. They just missed that energy. They missed something yesterday. Why not that? Boy, there was a bad moment where Luis Robert Jr., ball bounced off the wall, and he seemed to be looking at it, waiting for it to bounce to it. Come my way.
That was not very smooth.
So Chase Meidroff is an object believed to have supernatural powers for the White Sox, often worn or carried to bring good luck and protect the wearer and ward off evil spirits. Talisman.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I cannot believe this stopped him.
He and PCA in the same breath, in the same sentence, is wild. But they hopefully they missed him, because I have said, and I've actually gotten criticized shockingly, saying that they've been more competitive than they have been in the past, and I do believe this talisman, this Chase Meidroff, is a big part of that.
See, the only way I would object to the use of talisman is it's a very good word. I love its usage. And never mind expanding our vocabs. But I do think that it implies that there's some sort of special or magical power or some sort of luck involved.
Yes.
Chase Meidroff is the opposite of luck. Chase Meidroff creates his own luck. He creates his own luck because he is the grindiest guy on the South Side right now. And I think when you look at his absence, he does mean as much to his lineup as PCA does to the Cubs. So that's the comparison. He is the catalyst. And you can look that up too if you want, Dustin.
I know that one. Okay. Thank you. Can't
he
spell it, but I know it.
The catalyst.
C-A-T.
We'll get to that. But when you look at that comparison, I think it is apt, because the White Sox certainly last night did not have that element. He is a guy who at the top of the order can grind out at bats and be very selective and get on base. He in the field can make a play that ignites and maybe helps a pitcher out, save a run. So yeah, I do see the comparisons into the respective values to those lineups, but I don't think that Chase Meidroff is yet at that level where PCA is. Could he ascend there? It's early in his career. Let's wait and see. But I do think they definitely missed him, because without him, it was like, whoa, what do we do? where's the spark going to come from? It never came.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Wisham Charania listing five teams that have discussed making a trade for Kevin Durant. Should the Bulls be on that list? And do you think that's an unrealistic as trading for the Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo, or more possibly given Durant's advanced age? Does the Pope liking a Sox hat give the Bulls any advantage?
Well, Durant likes a Sox hat. He's probably the last famous guy to be photographed with a Sox hat on.
Yeah.
Before the Pope. I don't think
Chase Meidroff wears a Sox hat.
He does. And he looks
Obama.
Yeah, who was the most famous worldwide figure to ever wear a Sox hat?
Totally the Pope. Just happened.
Yeah, it just happened
yesterday. Yeah.
Is this related to Kevin Durant? No. I think that Kevin Durant, that list of teams is probably long. I don't think it makes sense at this stage of his career. I wonder what they would want in return. I don't know that the Bulls could fit his salary under all the cap and all the configurations. But I was a little surprised. Not surprised, but it would have been amusing to see his name on that list. And you wonder if they're one of the teams that wasn't mentioned that have inquired. Don't you have to at least inquire just out of professional curiosity?
No, you don't. He's not a guy. They're not a Kevin Durant away from anything other than the same place
you don't want
they
to
are right now.
Discuss trading your coach for assets, and you don't want to talk about adding Kevin Durant to a mix. You just want to stay, let's get together, guys, and do this all over. Let's run it back and win 32 games.
Stretch the timeline, David. Wait till the summer of 2026. That's what we heard. Okay, we can ask Casey Johnson all about this. I mean, what would Kevin Durant, he would know where the three-point line is finally and keep his foot back of it? I mean, that's what he's most famous for in my my mind.
No, it's not.
Okay, stepping on the 3-point line in a clutch situation and hitting a 2 instead of a 3.
He's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, come on, Dustin. You can't.
I'm more interested in the Pope wearing the Sox hat, to be honest.
Well, I'm really. I am very interested in the Pope wearing the Sox hat because I did get that sent to me, and I thought it was AI. I had seen so many photos of the Pope in Sox gear over. And hey, did you see? There's another video that came out. Somebody found video of the Pope at game one.
I didn't see the video. I heard about it.
It's just incredible that there's more evidence. He was seemed nervous as they were trying to close out the game.
Praying?
He may well have been praying, but he just looked nervous. I think it's super cool that the Pope wears a Sox hat or wore a Sox hat yesterday. It's just incredible. I nearly broke out my Sox hat just to wear for you, but I've got a new hat I'm wearing, and I kind of like it right now, so I'm sticking with it. I got to tell you, Kevin Durant, I don't think that it would aid the Bulls very much just because of the contract, the money. You know, you're waiting to get to a point where you can strip it down a little bit, and, you know, unless you could trade, you know, Patrick Williams for Kevin Durant, I'm not sure that I would do that. It just seems like kind of anti what they're about right now. And yeah, David, they told us, and they have told us, that they're going to play it back again. But I love Kevin Durant as a player. I think he's I think the guy could dominate in horse. He can hit shots from, you know, anywhere on the floor. And it's extraordinary that as a 7-footer, he's always open. That guy can play for a really long time. And I don't know, Dustin, you might be right. I don't know how much better they get if they get Kevin Durant. That's not really his game, but boy, you put him on with a good team and he would really help you.
I just think the broader question is, how will the Bulls get better this offseason? We still don't know.
I think the better question is the one that James Fegan, did you see? He tweeted the question they were talking about in the press room last night at the game. He said everyone was wondering if the Pope has ever said dadgummit.
I don't get it.
That's Hawk's swear word.
Oh, all right.
I just love that idea. I'd like to swear right now. Does the Pope say stuff like that?
Probably not.
Sox fan? I watch a game and I'm like, can it corn? I hear Hawk oftentimes because I've watched so many games done by Hawk. I think Gordon Beckham pulled out a Hawkism. That was pretty good. All right, we got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Dadgummit!
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What should the Cubs do about Ben Braun after Wednesday's shaky outing? One, immediately remove him from the rotation and head him over to the bullpen. Two, use an opener from now on to address his first inning issues. Or number three, give him another chance to keep his spot in the rotation.
My sense is they're going to probably give him another shot in the rotation to keep the status quo because of what we said coming into the show today, trying to keep a positive attitude and a sense of perspective. They are still 14 games over 500. They have a comfortable lead in the NL Central, and they have a young pitcher struggling for consistency. That said, I'm not sure I would ever use him again. I shouldn't say ever. I would be reluctant to use him again without an opener. I think what we have created, or the Cubs have created or contributed to, is this idea that guys need that one inning to adjust or adapt or to tone things down internally. And whether it's true or not, or whether we think it's valid or not, whether we think we long for the good old days when pitchers would just go out and give you six or seven, it doesn't matter, because I think the Cubs have maybe Ben Braun in his head believing he's better with an opener. He rose to the occasion with Scooble on the mound on Friday night, but I do think there are examples where guys benefit from that first inning, and it takes the edge off a little bit. I would try that next. Drew Pomerantz, come on down. Brad Keller, start the game. Whoever it is, Chris Flexen, go out there and take the first inning for Ben Braun, and let Ben Braun come in from the bullpen. He doesn't have to worry about the pomp and the circumstance of any kind of opening the game and any kind of anxiety that he's found difficult to manage, and start with command. That's what I would do. And I would do it next time out, because you can't afford to waste another start.
To be fair, and I know normally I'm not the to be fair guy, he was outstanding on Friday without an opener. He was outstanding. So I thought, and I believe, that's what the Cubs were thinking as well. But then he did not live up. He didn't even come close to doing what he did on Friday in Detroit against those Tigers. So, and the other part, to kind of almost as a fan, and I think they're always picking on me personally, of course. It's just how I roll. Like, Drew Pomerantz finishing that game, why? Drew Pomerantz has been fantastic this year. Like, that was an absolutely wasted inning for him. Absolutely. If you were going to use him, you should have had him be the opener. The fact that they used him yesterday just bothered me, because he's been fantastic. And though you want to talk about, he ended up throwing, in my opinion, 16 useless pitches yesterday for the Cubs.
Yeah, I honestly think that they're probably going to do what they should do, which is the third option, give him another chance to keep a spot in the rotation. I think that you don't want to overreact to a bad start. As you said, Dustin, he had a couple of good starts. He's had a few good starts. He's a young guy. He's 25 years old. He's just only in his second year in the bigs. I just think that you kind of called him up because Steele goes down. You're relying on him. He's got innings left on his arm. I just think you ought to take advantage of what you have with a young guy and not kind of add. Listen, as we said, he was bad yesterday. They couldn't take him out because they're in the middle of playing all these games and they got to protect the bullpen. So he ate that game. I thought he did a good job of eating innings. Obviously, he didn't pitch well. But I don't think you – I think you just – you move on and you live and you learn and you say bad matchup, bad day at the office and go with the next one. I don't think you overreact to anything at this point.
They have so many analytics. They have so much infrastructure intellectually. They have so much data that I don't think that they are in the business of just shrugging and saying, let's go get them next time. I don't think that they can even afford to ignore this.
But they haven't made a move yet, and they have other people they got to be aware of. I think you just, you know, you kind of whistle past the graveyard at this point. I mean, you want to use an opener? Okay. I would have no problem with that. But if you do that, then you probably have to do that for a while.
Yeah, commit to something until you get another alternative, have a better alternative, because you're going to get some help along the way if Jed Hoyer is coming through with what he said he was going to do. Yeah. Pomerantz, for example, to counter what you're saying, he pitched the first inning against the Reds on May 31st. You know who pitched the second and then the third and fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh? Ben Brown. He was masterful, gave up one hit in six innings as the second inning guy.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Just wasn't sharp today. I don't think he ever got to a place where he, you know, felt good with his fastball and his breaking ball, and it just kind of led to, you know, a general kind of lack of command. And, you know, you saw some big misses, and then when he needed to, just not getting balls to good spots, and they made him pay for that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of the manager. That's Greg Counsell talking about Ben Brown's performance after his rough start yesterday. And, you know, today a new day. They're coming home. They got a division foe, a familiar opponent. They'll get Skeens. Tomorrow,
Paul Skeens, Kate Horton, want to be there.
That'll be a good one.
Dustin will be there doing the pregame for Zach. That's going to be a lot of fun for everyone.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but I think Paul Skeens and Kate Horton's a good game to fill in on. How'd you work that one out? Nice.
Every once in a while.
Nice.
You know, it might have been because I had my magic talisman in my back pocket.
That could be. Yes, it could be. Why? I don't know if... Wow. I don't know if...
You know, maybe read the question. If you don't know the word, look it up before
we're
on the
air.
That's
okay, guys.
Jesus. It's talisman.
It's a good word. Well used. Well played.
Listen, I feel better about it. I'm going to try to work that into my vocabulary now.
Jameson Taillon goes today, though, and has not needed luck. He's been very good, and he's also going. I wonder this. You know, he was, if you remember, the first round pick, second overall of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, wow.
And
I didn't remember that.
He, in 2010, was the guy for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Does that ever wear off pitching against? We saw it yesterday with Ben Brown. I don't know if it mattered or factored into his ineffectiveness, but he was pitching against a team that drafted him in the 33rd round, traded him to the Cubs. And whatever, if that contributed, Ben Brown wasn't very good. Jameson Taillon has pitched against the Pirates a lot of times before. But I wonder if he still remembers those days, getting that start with the Pirates. Garrett Cole was there too as well at the time.
I would imagine that you always remember that. I would imagine that, think about yourself and your own life experience. Of course you remember. And of course, if you wanted to stay and you don't feel they respected you, of course you're always going to carry something. Or if you just like them and you feel good about them, you're going to give him a little, you know, Bob's your uncle anyway. So that's pretty good.
He had four seasons with the Pirates, and he won 14 games, high water mark in 2018. And he's really never won more games in a season than that. In 2022, he won 14 with the Yankees, but has not reached that point with the Cubs. And
boy, they're lucky they have him, though.
They are very lucky.
I mean, for all of the rumors about him leaving and what they were going to move him and all this stuff, David, you think about the situation that they're in now. I would hate to look at this season if he wasn't there.
Big reason why they are in first place with a comfortable lead is because Jameson Taillon has been consistent.
Yes.
He had a little spurt there, a stretch where he gave up 7 home runs and 184 pitches, and everyone, and I think by everyone I mean me, was worried. Like, oh my gosh, he's throwing batting practice. But he settled down, made some adjustments. He may give up a home run ball here or there,
right,
but he's going to give you the dreaded quality start. He's going to give you 6 innings, 2 or fewer runs, 3 or fewer runs, but usually it's around 2. And he's gonna be real dependable,
yeah,
and that's what the Cubs really need.
He's been really dependable. He's been dependable since he got here. All right, we've got to get to some NBA talk. The NBA finals last night. The Indiana Pistons. Indiana takes the lead over OKC. The whole state is delighted. State of basketball.
I know a lot of people in that state very delighted by what happened last night in Indy.
I mean it sincerely. There are people delighted by that, and I don't know that everyone believed it was going to happen. But we will discuss it next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.